Thank you for being here today. My name is Lindsay Atkinson, and I'm going to be moderating our lovely panel next to me. We have Crystal Taylor, Emily Skydema, and Tori Nishida. But thank you so much just for being here this weekend on this beautiful day. I am going to open us in prayer, and that panel represents a different season of motherhood. So Crystal's going to be representing that season of having young children at home. Emily's going to be representing the season of having teenage kids. And then Tori's representing the season of having adult children and even grandchildren. Then full circle, right? So let me just open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and this space that you've provided for us as women and as mothers, just to get to discuss this important topic of growing in godliness and pursuing you, Lord, in the busy seasons of motherhood. I pray, God, that we will glorify you over this next hour with the words that we're going to say and the things that we're going to think about and the way that we conduct ourselves. I just pray that it would be pleasing in your sight, Lord. I lift up to you Crystal and Emily and Tori and just the things that they have prepared, the things that they have felt like you have placed on their heart. So Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be nervous, just that they would be excited to share what it is that you, Father, have placed on their heart to share with us this morning. I pray, Father, that we would walk away here today with things that you want to encourage our hearts with or convict us with or help us to grow in, Lord, just would you have your Holy Spirit fall on us right now, Lord, and guide this next hour. And we give this time to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. A little bit about Crystal. I asked the ladies the same questions. Crystal is married to TC, and they met at Indiana State University. They will be married 15 years this July, correct? Okay. And they have two kiddos. Timothy is 3, and Trinity is 5. Before kids, Crystal was a teacher. She taught secondary social studies, and she's been at home for the past 5 years, but just started teaching a little bit part-time recently. This school year, is that correct? Yes, at the master's. They moved here in 2008, joined College Park in 2009, and then they transitioned to the One Fellowship Church, where TC is the pastor. She serves on the hospitality team there. And then I asked Crystal what her life verse was, and she said Colossians 2:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And then on a much less spiritual level, I asked her, coffee, Diet Coke, or tea? And she said coffee, right? What household chore do you like the least, or was your least favorite? And she said laundry. Oh. Amen, right? Favorite day of the week is Friday. And this question, I don't know if you ladies thought this question was funny. I said, what product would you seriously stockpile if you heard they weren't going to sell it anymore? And I asked these ladies this question like 3 weeks ago, pre-stockpiling. That is actually occurring. So pre-stockpiling, Crystal said baby wipes. Every mom of little kids is like, yep. And then I said, would you rather have unlimited sushi for life or tacos? She chose tacos. So, Crystal, would you share with us, please?
Thank you. Okay, good morning. It's definitely an honor to be here today to talk to you about my experience with motherhood and growing in godliness. So my hope is that God will be glorified with the things I have to say, and that I will also be an encouragement to you as moms and fellow sisters in Christ. As you know, that motherhood is just an all-consuming job, physical energy, spiritual, emotional, mental. When we first moved here in 2018, I had to go to the dentist, and he was very gracious and kind, and he was just talking to me and asking me about the ages of my kids, and at the time, they were 1 and 3, and he just laughed and said, oh, bless your heart, you know, and he was just chuckling because he was a dad, and he was a grandfather, and he just knew just the toll that mothering can take and just how busy you are. And so I just thought that was kind of funny to me, just how he laughed and was just like, oh, bless your heart. That's all you could say, bless your heart, bless your heart. So, but as far as, motherhood, we can get wrapped up and, you know, we could be exhausted, but there's also so many wonderful things that we can find joy in and be happy about, and we get wrapped up in their cuteness and the fun things that they do, and we celebrate birthdays and all kinds of different events. And sometimes, for me, it has been easier for me just to get lost in my motherhood and not have remembering that my identity is in Christ. And so that has been the key in my pursuit and godliness, is remembering that my identity is in Christ, and as a Christian, I need to be doing things that is living out my Christianity, and how am I growing as a Christian? So that has been the key. My first year of becoming a mom, God is just so gracious and kind. A woman, phenomenal woman, Christian woman, Tracy Woods, Louisville, Kentucky, reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm starting a discipleship group. Would you like to be part of it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so a few months after I had Trinity, I joined a discipleship group. And the first thing we talked about for the first year, I was in this group for 3 years, but the first year was about our identity in Christ. And we just focused in on that, honed in on our just personal backgrounds, and just really focused on our relationship with the Lord. And then the next couple of years, just other things we focused on. But I feel like that is just the key thing that kept me close to the cross and pursuing the Lord. So I just did a list of a few different things that I've done that helped my growth in godliness. And I really liked what Kevin DeYoung said, is that growing in godliness and godliness is not sinless perfection. And it's our pursuit to be more like him, and how do we recover from our failure. So I really appreciated that. But one of the biggest things about growing in godliness for me is reading my Bible. The Bible is our spiritual food, and it's our daily bread. And one of my favorite singers, Aretha Franklin, has a song. It's called Holy, Holy. And in it, she said, Jesus left a long time ago, and he said he would return, but he left a book for us to believe in, and in it we have a lot to learn. And that is so true. The Bible is never ending. We can't master it, but there's so much that we can read from it and learn from it each time we open it. Even if we've read the scripture hundreds of times, we can continue to read and grow from it. My own personal devotion time has been very important. About 2 to 3 years before I became a mother, I attended a class. It was a Bible study methods class, which taught me how to read the Bible through observation, interpretation, application, just to get learn and understand Bible study skills. So that was very important. But also, with that Bible study class, I've been a part of BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. I've been a part of Women's Bible Studies Group. I've been a part of Bible Studies here at College Park Church, which I highly recommend because they are, it's solid Bible studies, but they also provide childcare as well. So if you need to bring your children, you can come and learn. It's good teaching, and it's organized, and it's a great way to further your understanding in scripture. When we read the Bible, we learn more about God, and we want to be more like him. And it's one of the best ways, I feel like, how you can grow in godliness is to be in the Word. And not just be in the Word, but also apply it and work to live it out. And I encourage young moms and new moms, I would always tell them, you know, when your arms are full and your eyes are tired, just listen to the Word. Just put it on and listen to it and let it minister to your heart and minister to your soul. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And also with James 1:22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. So it's great, you know, if you can't read it, you know, if you just can't hold your Bible open, just listen to it, let it minister to you, and also live it out in your day to day. Prayer is another important thing that has helped me grow in godliness. Each morning, the very first thing I do, I stretch and I pray. I'm stiff, so I have to stretch, you know, and as I'm stretching, I'm praying, and oftentimes those are prayers of thanksgiving, and I just recently started that a few months ago, and it's been such a sweet time with me and the Lord just to wake up and to give him thanks, and also it's a great way for me to start my day, because as soon as I wake up, I'm like, I have A, B, C to do, X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, and yada, yada. I have so many things I have to get done, and my mind just gets to going, and I'm just ready to take action, but I just physically just stop and stretch and pray thanks and worship him for who he is. And then also casting my cares on him for the day or what happened the night before, whatever burden I'm carrying, I talk to the Lord about it and ask God for whatever it is and ask him for his grace throughout the day and for peace and for patience. So that's a very key part to my day as far as growing in godliness. Another very important thing for me is, and has been for me, is Christian community. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So church membership and being an active member of the church has been part and parcel to my growth and godliness and learning how to be a good Christian or a better Christian. A key thing about church membership is you have the spiritual covering of your pastors, you have the support from your church family, you have accountability. It's wonderful to be a part of corporate worship, to sing with your brothers and sisters of Christ and lift up the name of the Lord, and to sit under the preaching of your pastors. And also with being an active church member, serving. And yes, I believe that busy moms can serve in different ways. And in life, we all know that we live in different seasons, and sometimes the season of life, you know, you don't have the ability to actually do anything extra than to take care of your family, which is an important ministry. So for many times, my main serving ministry was pastoral care and pastoral care of the family. You know, that's what I focused in on, but there are other things that I was able to do. So I live back in Louisville. I helped with the children's ministry, and here I help with hospitality, just help with greet people on Sunday morning. And, you know, we come in early, and God is just gracious. He provided some wonderful believing teenage girls that will keep my kids occupied as I help set up. And then at the end of service, because we're a church plant over in Pike Township, so we set up and tear down. And when we get done with our service, my kids help me tear down and push the carts away. So they're a part of the serving too, which is great. But, you know, being an active church member is great. Through church membership for me, I've been a part of small groups and attended different church events. And I meet with other sisters for coffee and just to have that conversation about different things in life and have somebody that you can pray with and pray for them. They can pray for you. You have accountability. Once a week, I work out with a couple ladies from my church, and we just do our exercises at the gym and we talk. And it's just a sweet time, a sweet fellowship. And, you know, Jesus is the best example of someone who lived in community. He was always with people. And then when he wasn't, he was away praying to the Father. And so, you know, as moms, we're exhausted. And I'm a more introverted personality. So this is a stretch for me, but I get it when you're exhausted and you don't want to have a conversation and things like that. But also, we want to do things that's best for your Christian faith. And so put in your schedule or your rhythm of how you'll be able to be engaging with others and promote Christian community and live that out, that's been just a very important thing for me. And so that's another thing about that as far as church membership. Another thing that's helped me in my growth and godliness is focusing on serving the Lord and focusing on serving God. For me, just saying no to pity parties was a big thing. And that was very important for me to put God as my focus. One of my favorite scriptures, like Lindsay shared, was Colossians 3:23. And at the end of it, it says, "It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So yes, you're helping your family for sure, but ultimately you're serving the Lord. And it's not just about you. It's about where God has placed you and what he has equipped you to do and the grace that he's given you, and you are living that out and serving that out, and you're ultimately serving him. Lois Evans, who's Dr. Tony Evans' late wife, she would talk about her mom and about her mom, how they were in a difficult situation. And she was just wondering why her mom was still at the house and serving her father and serving the family. And her mom would just tell her, I'm doing this for the Lord's name's sake, you know? And it's not like I'm just doing this for myself, but I'm really doing this for the Lord. And I thought that was really special to hear that, is that, yes, we are doing it for the Lord. And, you know, we help our family, we help our husbands if we have husbands, and we help our children, and it can be tough and exhausting, and it's like, who's going to help me? And I was reminded of two things. The first thing is that God is our helper. Scripture tells us, as Jesus was going away, he said the Father is going to send you an advocate who is going to help you. He's going to send a helper who's going to help you, and he is going to be with you and live with you. And also Scripture tells us that God's grace is sufficient. For what we need, God will provide the grace to get us through what needs to be done. He will give us the strength. And then when we're doing things in our own power, we probably need to stop. But the Lord will give us what we need to get through what we need to get through. And also, it is a noble thing to be the help, to be a helper for your family, because the Holy Spirit is the helper. And so, like the Holy Spirit, we are helpers as well. Couple more things real quick. Next thing is contentment. Learning to be content is something I have been learning and will continue to learn and trying to learn, as Paul shared with us with that, is that he had to learn to be content, and that was a discipline. And so by learning to be content, one of the ways is having an attitude of gratitude. And I heard that phrase from John Piper through a sermon on Thanksgiving, which was really good. But having attitude of gratitude, focusing on what you have, being thankful of what the Lord has provided for you, giving thanks in that will give you attitude of gratitude, and contentment will come with that. And so just focusing, for me, just focusing on what is and not focusing on what is not. So being thankful for what I do have versus what I don't have, because God supplies all of our needs, and he gives us what he wants us to have. And there's a book by Priscilla Schreier, Resolutions for Women. Her first chapter is on contentment, and I don't have time to read that, but a portion from that. But that has been a really powerful thing for me to read when I was struggling with contentment. And also with contentment, just embracing the season I'm in with the little ones. It's just life-changing, from not having children to just go and do whatever, to having children and little people, that you're helping them with everything all the time. And things take longer to do, and but it's also can be just a beautiful season for you to enjoy your children. I had an older friend that just talked about how when her kids were younger, she was just complaining a lot because it took forever to do things, and she would grumble about getting them in and out of the car seats and this and that. And she was like, I feel like I spent a lot of my children's younger years just complaining and hoping to get to the next stage, and now I miss it, you know. And so just for me, embracing the season that I'm in, just enjoying it where I am with the kids, with their ages, and just having fun with them and just watching them do all the different little things they do, and enjoying, you know, the little things, Paw Patrol and Hatchimals and all that stuff. Okay, and then the last thing is what I am working on, really working on now, and what my focus has been on this year is being still and rest. First scripture for that, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. And so just, I could have been just quick to want to always do and not seek God first. And so I'm really have been trying on just being patient, waiting on the Lord, petitioning my cares and anxieties to him, and just waiting and being still and resting. And, you know, wanting to be like Mary and choosing the good portion of Jesus versus being anxious and worrying about a lot of things. So choosing Jesus each and every day and seeking him first is something that I've really been trying to focus on. And last thing I'll leave you with, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time, is I really love this quote by Ruth Graham. She said, and you all probably heard it, "As a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and leave the impossible to God." And the last thing is Matthew in chapter 6, how it tells us not to be anxious, but what it does tell us to do is seek first the kingdom of God. And I think that is just imperative for me in this season of life, is to first seek God. And by doing that, it keeps my mind and focused on him, and it helps me to pursue my walk with the Lord and to grow in godliness. So I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Next up, we have Emily Skidema. Emily's married to Mark, who is our pastor of community here at College Park. They met at a Christian sports camp in Pennsylvania where they were counselors, and they've been married 20 years, correct? They have four kids. Will is 16, Eleanor is almost 14, Owen is almost 11, and Henry is almost 9. You must have a lot of spring, and it's important, right? We don't want to say they're 8 when they're like 9 next week, so we get it. Before kids, you were on staff with Crew, and right now you are at home homeschooling your kiddos. Emily serves as an 8th grade small group leader on Sundays, and she's just started singing in the choir with Will. Emily shared a couple different passages with me as her favorites, so I chose the shortest one to share with them. They were all good. I was blessed by all of them. But I loved this one. John 6, 67 through 69 said, "So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' And Simon Peter answered them, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Emily is a coffee drinker with half and half. Her least favorite chore, cleaning up the kitchen. And everyone said, amen. Favorite day of the week is Friday. And I loved her answer for stockpiling. Aside from stockpiling dried fruit and nuts, which was good, she said if she knew Desiring God was going to go offline, she would stockpile the sermons and podcasts. Like, amen to that. And Emily, tacos over sushi so far. Okay, thank you, Emily.
Sushi. My daughter thought sushi. I should have said sushi. My son said, all of my sons.
So the alarm clock choice is always a mini battle, but not so much in this season of life. Is it a battle for when it goes off so much as what time I'm going to set it to go off? Because we've almost always been up later than we thought we were going to be, later than we really wanted to be, because the bigs are hanging in our room, laughing, processing life, getting their backs rubbed, sometimes crying, and we're just goofing around, and we end up shooing them out of our room. However, we're choosing to cherish those times with them because they actually want to be with us. So setting the alarm so that I get uninterrupted time with Jesus before the day gets squeezed out is still a very conscious choice, even though I have some that tend to sleep in a little bit. So the alarm goes off, and I'm usually exhausted when it does. I hit my alarm, and I leave my phone on my nightstand, stumble into the kitchen, grab coffee. Yes. And then plop down on the couch, and there I will spend the next hour to hour and a half with the Lord. I usually, over those first sips of delicious coffee, begin by reading a prayer from maybe Valley of Vision, or read through a chunk of Psalm 119, or a TED Tripp New Morning Mercies devotional, or some other prayer that's just awakening my spirit to what am I gonna encounter with the Lord this morning. Then I usually take time and journal my own prayers, very honest, vulnerable times with the Lord, where I just talk to him about what's really going on. Then I ask him, will you help me behold the glory of the Lord? And as I do, change me one degree of glory at a time. And then I open his word. And I'm usually studying something pretty specific. Also, though, trying to lean into the Holy Spirit if he wants me to go somewhere else other than what I'm supposed to be studying that day. Just being sensitive to his leading, because the book is alive. And it's how he speaks to me and feeds me. So right now I'm studying Ezekiel, and I cannot believe how something that was written so long ago is so applicable to my everyday life now. Then I usually spend some specific time praying, sometimes directly out of that passage, what I've been processing with the Lord, or I'll pray specific scripture over people and situations in our life. If I still have time, I will spend some time working on whatever I'm memorizing at that time. And then, usually toward the end of my time, my almost nine-year-old comes up and lands right here on the couch next to me and gets his snuggle time in. And then the day begins. I have found, though, that if I do something with what I've just processed with the Lord, very soon after I've processed with him, I have a much deeper comprehension path that is forged. Text it to a friend, talk about it with my kids, say something to my husband about it, or even leave my Bible open to that passage on our coffee table so that when I walk past it throughout the day, my brain is jogged and that comprehension path is forged. But where the rubber really meets the road, I think, in walking with Christ and pursuing godliness is totally what I do when I get off of my sweet cozy spot. Am I going to be a doer of his word or a hearer only? I have the gift of four sets of eyes. Eyes that watch all day long. Does she really believe what she reads and says to us? Four sets of eyes who see me get bumped, who see my plans almost never work, who see my idols rear their ugly heads. Will mama bow or not? They watch. They watch how I spend my time. They watch how I fill my mind. They watch how I respond when I'm sinning. And they respond, and they watch how I respond when I'm sinned against. They watch what makes mommy excited. What fills her with joy? What does she talk about? Is her heart soft before the Lord? When she sings songs in church, is she singing the same way in the kitchen and in the car and on the elliptical when no one is watching? And I am so grateful for their eyes, because I want them to see nothing more than Christ really being alive and beautiful and changing mom, because that's who's going to be alive and beautiful and changing them. So I want them to know it is not about me being perfect or them getting it perfect, but it is about having a perfect Savior who makes us more like him one degree of glory at a time. One morning, about a month ago, I was struggling with all these "you're such a failure" thoughts, and they were mostly vague, but came in the form of like, "you're such a failure with your kids. You've totally blown their education. You aren't doing it like her. You are totally squandering time with them," stuff like that, okay? And they were coming fast and furiously, and I was trying to renew my mind and capture thoughts, but I was really being bombarded. Normally, in that circumstance, I will text or email Mark, or text or call Mark, and he'll pray over me. I knew that day, though, he couldn't be interrupted. And so, in the middle of our schoolroom, I chose to be vulnerable with our two oldest kids. And I said, "okay, guys, I need you to help me. I am being bombarded with thoughts that sound like this," and I shared some of them. And so my oldest two, stopped what they were doing, put their hands on Mama, and prayed for me. And it was like a huge dark cloud lifted. The low of my day became my high. But I think one of the biggest pieces in pursuing God as a mom and as anyone is the willingness to be vulnerable. And it starts with me being willing to be vulnerable with God. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous because God sees everything and knows everything anyway, but I actually think it's way easier to do than we think, than we admit. Okay? So I can plop down on my couch, open up my Bible and my journal, write in my journal my prayers, because if I don't pray, I'm independent, and do my Bible study because I need to check off my quiet time. And I never actually meet with my King, and I'm not talking about anything that's going on in my heart with him. That's what I'm talking about, being vulnerable. Because the more vulnerable I am with Jesus, the more deeply and intimately he meets and equips me. But I don't think it actually stops there. I think that being appropriately vulnerable with my children makes all the difference in the world for them too. It helps them see, wait, Mom deals with internal battles of being selfish, and wait a minute, she can be insecure sometimes? Yeah, a lot. Her feelings get hurt and she has to choose how to respond. Wait a minute, she fails sometimes, like totally blows it. And she still goes back to Jesus and he still loves her. She has to hear the gospel over again and again and again and again. And what I want him to think is, whoa, maybe this Jesus thing like really works. Maybe he's real. Our oldest on Tuesday needed to be at co-op early. And so he was doing this really cool, like dissect a cow heart or something. And so we all had to get to co-op really early too. So we dropped him off and I wanted to go pick up coffee for a friend. So we are rounding the corner to go to Starbucks and I hear in the back of my van, one of my boys is going to on this errand under great duress. He made it clear to everyone in the van that he would have way rather been hanging out with his friends, extra co-op time, and he was not happy about this errand. So we go through the drive-thru, I get the cup of coffee, and then as we're pulling out of Starbucks, I hear, Mama, will you please forgive me for being, well, for having a grumbling heart and complaining about coming to Starbucks? Of course, buddy. Aren't you so thankful we have a Savior who loves us and forgives us of all our sin? You're forgiven by me and him. To which the other son then says, isn't Jesus amazing? I mean, how many more times am I going to sin today or this week? And Jesus knows and he forgives it all. To which the rest of us in the car just kind of sat and went, wow. Grumbling coffee errand turned into gospel savoring moment for all of us. Monday, this is true. Monday this week, I could tell something was going on with my oldest son. And so I asked him, are you okay? To which he said, I don't know, I'm just really struggling with all these thoughts. Like, you're such a failure. Really? I said, I'm so sorry. And then he started to talk about him. And I said, can I pray for you? See, one of the reasons that I shared in our schoolroom a month ago what was going on with me is because I see the propensity in me and in them, especially in the midst of an internal battle, of isolation. I was fighting. And I needed someone to fight with me. Both Will and I were so refreshed, relieved, felt freedom and healing by inviting somebody else into the battle with us. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability, but I also think it breeds authenticity. And it breeds a freedom to be dependent on the one that has made us to be dependent. Jesus' preferred position for me is to be weak and needy and dependent. And it's from there that I get to experience a loving and living Savior who's changing me by his grace, one degree of glory at a time.
Thank you, Emily.
Next up, we have Tori. Tori and Hank have been married for 37 years, but they were high school sweethearts, so they've known each other for 43. They met in the halls of Lawrence Central High School. I love that. They have four adult sons. Daniel's married to Lauren. Jacob's married to Cassandra. Caleb's married to Alyssa. And Joel is about to be married to Megan. And then they have Jacqueline, who has been in heaven for 30 years, correct? And then they have five grandchildren, ages 10 to 1. I asked Tori what she did before kids, and she said she was a medical billing transcriptionist, although her degree was in education, correct? Right now, she's not working outside of the home other than cooking a lot of food to feed an army, right, of children and grandchildren and just loving on them. She helps with her grandchildren a lot, and her husband owns a business that all the boys are a part of. So it's a family affair. They've been at College Park for 20 years. Tori's been on the Women's Council. You might have seen her at Women's Bible Study. She's a Titus II leader, just served in lots of ways. Hank is a small group leader. They've both been coaches for that, and then they've served on the sermon application team. I knew this one about you, Tori, before I even asked, but her life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Coffee for Tori. Least favorite household chore? Dusting. Favorite day is Saturday. And I loved the stockpile because she said she would get Estee Lauder's Pleasure perfume because she's worn it for 25 years. We all know what it feels like when they discontinue our favorite. And Tori also would choose unlimited tacos. So Tori's going to share with us about this season of adult children.
Thank you, Lindsay. Just pull these up here real quick.
Did you grab them?
No, yours was right there.
Good morning. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We sang this in Sunday morning worship a few weeks ago. Don't know if you remember. But honestly, as we were singing, the Holy Spirit impressed on me. You could use this as a premise for your sharing. And it was such a strong impression that when I sat down, I got my phone out and I typed in my notes the word ROCK in capital letters, thinking I could use this as an acronym, R-O-C-K, for the breakdown of my sharing. And here we are. We're going to sound a lot alike. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as holy, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the hope that lies within you." And so that's what we're here to do, is to share the hope that the Lord has brought to us over many seasons of motherhood and grandmotherhood, as far as I'm going. So we're going to start out with R, renew. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away." You know, all the seasons of motherhood, we are thinking, aren't we? We've got thoughts going on all the time. And if we are not living by renewing our minds as one of the top priorities in our daily list of priorities, we will certainly walk out to sinking sand. You know, every day of every season of motherhood, we are living by a list of priorities. Amen? How many of you are list makers? Raise your hand. Okay, a good number of you. We're all list makers, though, right? Because we always have that list going on in our heads of some sort. And but if I have to ask myself quite often, am I living by the right priorities? And if we take it one step further, am I living by some righteous priorities within that daily list? And I have learned by trial and error over many years that if we do not include two of the highest priorities on those daily lists, we are inevitably going to walk out to sinking sand. And those two things are, A, to please God, not perfectly, like Kevin said, but intentionally, and B, am I renewing my mind with God's truth, which is the only trustworthy thing to renew our minds by? We are always thinking, right? And we have the biggest voice in our own heads. It's been said. We are talking to ourselves all of the time, are we not? And if we're not renewing our minds with God's word, which is active, alive, sharper than a double-edged sword, with his precepts, his promises, his warnings, his love, we are going to be rehearsing something in there. And oftentimes it will be negativity, it will be self-condemnation, or it will be pride, or it will be condemnation of others. And if we're not putting in the promises that God has given to us and rehearsing the gospel daily, sometimes moment by moment, amen, we will be thinking something. And if it's not God's word, it will take us right out to sinking sand. It's like the sun and the moon. So the moon does not produce its own light. It is simply reflecting the sun's light. And that's how God's word and us are. As we read prayerfully and seriously, read, meditate, memorize God's word, we are what Dale Shaw has recently reminded us. We are encountering God's glory as we read his living word. And as the light of God's word permeates the fabric of our souls and our hearts and minds, we then can turn and be glory reflectors out into our homes and outside of our homes. John Piper, which I love John Piper, he says this: Christians are many glory reflectors in a very dark world. Isn't that cool? Okay, obey. It's that hard little word, isn't it? Like Lindsay said, my life verses are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for 30 years now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The first part of that word, trust, we are trusting in something all day long. And if it is not ultimately the Lord, we will walk out to sinking sand, right? And how are we to trust? Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not double-mindedly, not only when things are going smoothly, but especially in the deep valleys of life when things aren't going smoothly. We're called to trust wholeheartedly. The next part of those verses are what I've just needed to learn time and time again, and I'm still learning, right? We should always be learning to lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding includes our emotions, our feelings, and our hormones. And though these are God-given, they are not always trustworthy. We know this, right? Now, if they're used as God intends, yes, they're purposeful. But oftentimes, many times, they are not trustworthy. That is why we are called not to lean on them. And how do we combat that? By the rest of the verse, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct our paths. What does that mean? It just simply means get to know God better and better and learn his character so that, and what our position is with him. We are his beloved. And so that when we are wanting to lean to our own understanding, we will be more fully equipped if we're acknowledging him in all our ways through all the Christian disciplines that these gals have already spoken of. We then can lean to trusting him with all our hearts, right? Okay, John Piper again. Sorry, I'm a Piper fan. He says this: my feelings are not God. God is God. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. Love that quote. All right, we are up to See. Confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's one of those conditional verses, ladies, and when we first read it, our flesh kind of cringes, right? Because it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, right? Starts out with that tiny but mighty word that Joe Bartimus has us trained to look for, because they're very important words. If we confess our sin, right? So confession simply means to agree with God about what he calls sin and the sin in our lives. It's agreement about what our sin is. And then we're called to humble ourselves, which requires ourself, right? And then to confess to him and to others, and to, with a broken and contrite spirit over our sin, and then to seek forgiveness first this way, because we've sinned against a holy God, ultimately, call it for what it is, and then this way, because our sin never just affects ourselves, right? It has always creating that ripple effect that on some level is affecting others. And typically it's the ones we love and are closest to, correct? So, and then the second part of that verse is, our concept is, after we seek confession, then, so it's like this, I've always heard it said, you're walking in your sin this way, and then you stop and you confess and you seek forgiveness. And then repentance is the actual turning 180 degrees in the opposite direction and walking in changed behavior. And that's what we call the fruit of repentance, or the proof of your repentance. I just think that's a great visual. Okay, we are up to K, Kingdom Build. In Gloria Furman's wonderful book, Missional Motherhood, she says this: Jesus invites women to missional motherhood, to follow his pattern, to trust in his promises, and to nurture others by his power. Jesus Christ is on a mission that he will most assuredly accomplish, and he invites us to participate to the praise of his glory. Is that not a cool way to look at the call to motherhood? We are on mission, ladies. These children are gifts from God. They are reward from the Lord, as the word says. We are entrusted with them, that they are his, right? And he invites us to be winsome women, not perfectly, but intentionally, to live a life that beckons, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as we are training and nurturing and raising and disciplining and loving, all of those things that we've all talked about, as we're doing that, we are constantly to be pointing them to Jesus, who is the only worthy one to follow. Right? And I just have to say this, before they are on their own paths of salvation by God's design and his timing, they're non-believers. So we are living with non-believers. And I agree with what's been said here over and over again. We are to live intentionally and in front of them our faith, so that they can learn what it really is like. You know, they already know that we're sinners, right? And I'll tell you, they are smart no matter what age, and they will sniff out hypocrisy in a moment's notice, won't they? Especially teenagers, right, Emily? So the other way we kingdom build during these seasons of motherhood, and I'm repeating a few of these things, but to live in community. We women need each other, don't we? We moms need each other. We grandmas need each other. It never stops. We all need each other. And I've often relayed to women, God calls us to complete one another, not to compete with one another. Because competing can open you up to the sin of comparison, which always will divide, okay? We are called to build each other up, to spur each other on, and to link arm in arm, and we're going in the same direction. And there's strength in numbers, and we need to remember that and love each other well during these seasons. And we'd be really wise women if we would heed our own dear pastor Mark's wise words. God is holy, I am not, Jesus saves, and Christ is my life. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Renew, obey, confess, and kingdom build. Thank you for letting us share our hope.
Thank you, ladies. Don't you love that none of them prepared these together and then the themes that we saw come up over and over again? We don't have a lot of time for questions, so I just thought maybe this would be the one we could close with, because it might give us something tangible to think about as we walk out of this room. So I wanted you, each of you, if we wouldn't mind, just take a minute or two to share. I think we can agree that the importance of discernment, right, as what we're putting inside of us, because then as we share it with our own children. So the importance of discernment in a Christian world that is full of so many things that look Christian, but we know a lot of them aren't Christian, right? So would you share perhaps one or two resources that you have found outside of God's word, which you made evident we start there, but maybe something that you have found to be helpful, like a book or a Bible study, maybe just for your own personal growth, maybe related to motherhood. Maybe it's a podcast that you have found has been really helpful. And I know we've talked a little bit about Gloria Furman and Priscilla Shirer, but if there were others, I know for me when my kids were little that Gloria Furman, Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full, was such an impactful book. But just to get an idea, because the book table's out there, so would you all just maybe share one or two? I'll let you start, Crystal.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the books, is Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. I thought that was really good by Gloria Furman. A recent book I read is Refresh, and it's called Refresh, Embracing a Grace-Paced Life in a World of Endless Demands, and it's by Shauna and David Murray. That's a really good book, just has practical and spiritual things in there. And another really good book that was helpful for me to read is called A Woman's Guide to Personality Types. It is a Christian book by Donna Partow, and it focuses on understanding your own personality type and how to live that out, and also understanding other women's personality types and understanding men's personality types, so understanding your husband better, and then also children's personality types. So it just helps. It's a really good book to help yourself, and we're, you know, called to live in community, so just to have a better understanding of other women and how just to help them and live with them. It's called A Woman's Guide to Personality Types by Donna Partow. And The Peacemaker by Kenneth Sandy is really, really good. So,
So I'll do it in the context of more teen, I think. One of the things that we actually actively listen to together is Ask Pastor John. It's a podcast by John Piper. My older kids and I, especially my oldest son, he and I will listen to them often, and then talk about them. And it's just a really great platform to talk about some funny things, talk about theological things. But it's short enough. So that's probably a huge one in the context of, and then I would say probably a book that has impacted just how I talk about the gospel in my house, is Gospel Fluency. That just really impacted how I look at Jesus, see him, and then communicate the gospel in everyday situations.
Before I list a couple of mine in the resource page, okay, on our website, lists the Titus II approved list of books. Not that it's extensive. I mean, it is extensive, but not you know, we could add to it. Yeah, it's not exhaustive, but there are many, many really good books listed on there. So if you need a big list to look at, you could certainly go there. Right now, we're ending our Tuesday morning Bible study with Lies Women Believe, the revised edition by Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgamuth. It's always a mouthful. And Lindsay is in our group this year. And wouldn't you agree, it is probably one of the most impactful women's read I've done. I read her first edition years and years ago. It's still on my shelf, all marked up. Because I think it's really important to understand what the lies are and the truth that sets us free. And if you aren't, you know, figuring out where the lie is coming from and you are out on that sinking sand like I was talking about, then you are being dragged away by a lie or lies. And so it's just a great resource. It's got great scripture in it. Really great charts, but it's concise. It's a very easy read, and it's broken down into really good categories. Paul Tripp is one of my big favorites, and John Piper. I could go on just by listing authors, but Paul Tripp's gospel parenting book is excellent. I was brought up on Dobson, Dr. Dobson. Okay, so that goes a few years back. But his, I think that's just a really great parenting book. And for teenager times, Age of Opportunity by Paul Tripp was a life changer for me, because children are tools from the Lord to help refine us. He uses those children in our lives to mold and change us. And it's a game changer to really have an understanding about that. And so then you're learning and refining together. And I could go on. John Piper, Desiring God blog is, I follow that daily. And it's really great. But I don't want to take any more time. Yeah.
What was the last book again?
Age of Opportunity by Paul Tripp. And it's more for like preteen, teen. But you know what? Read it ahead of time too, because then it helps prepare you, all of these books. Yes.
So with a mother of grown children, and you have boys,
yes. We are of the talk, because they're all different, as you probably have, different personalities, different ages too. We've got an 11-year spread because we lost our little girl right between the two sets of boys. So that was a lot of my husband's, you know, role in leading them and what it is to be a man, and biblically speaking, and their role, even prior to salvation, you know, their role as a biblical husband, what God is asking and expecting of them. And so we had lots of books. Don't get me wrong, I can't put my thumb on just one, because we do a lot of talking in our family also. And does that help? I don't know. Yeah, but preparing them well before, and, you know, what is the biblical role of a husband? What is the biblical role of a wife? I mean, that is a great passage to just start out with. The Bible will teach us, you know, and although I feel it's always good to have your nose in a really good, strong Christian author just to help with application also, but yeah, sure.
Thank you. Wasn't this great? Don't you wish we could go another hour? Just keep asking more questions. Thank you. Thank you, Crystal and Emily and Tori. Thank you, ladies.